Good afternoon to you. We always thank you for tuning in to the program. There is a publication that is put out by the Mount Gilead Church that we distribute in the area called House to House and Heart to Heart. Some of you may receive this publication by virtue of the Oak Hill congregation sending it to you. Either way, there is a certain fellow that works with that publication called Alan Webster, and he sends us, along with that periodical, all kinds of Bible tracts, pamphlets, things like that. There is one particular one called What Teens Want by Alan Webster, and he has in it some thoughts that I believe are very instructive and would be good for us if you mentor any kind of child, or if you're a parent, maybe you have access to a niece or nephew, just anybody, a student, somebody that you can help. And a lot of times these young people have a perspective that is very fresh and is very needful for us to understand so that we can know from the Bible exactly what to tell them and how we can help them. So let's look at this in the scriptures a little bit as to what teens want. As a young person, speaking from their perspective, then I need for you to teach me. That's what the young people are telling us. Yes, even though I sometimes act like I know everything, I realize that I'm still learning. The greatest need I have is to learn the Bible. The basic truths that you have known for years are still new to me as a teenager. That's what they're telling us, isn't it? I want to know about Jesus and the love he has for me. I yearn to be free from sin's guilt. I want to know when I will be old enough to be baptized. I long to know what Christ wants me to do with my life. How does he expect me to act? What is right? What's wrong? Is there a place for me in the church? Remind me of the psalmist's wise counsel. It says in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With thy whole heart have I sought thee, my whole heart. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Lead me to the book of Proverbs, where Solomon wrote in part, "Young men, knowledge and discretion." That's what they need to give. That's what everybody needs to have and develop in their lives. You know, these wise words from the Old Testament, they can be made alive and fresh and new to our young people if we will just teach them. Once again, from the young person's perspective, as a young person, I need to know for you, and I need to for you to show me. That's the knowledge they want to get from us. They want to have it demonstrated in front of them. So the young person would say to us, "I appreciate your instructions, but I find it easier to follow your example. Your life is a better teacher than your lips. What I particularly need are role models. When I see adults living the gospel of Christ, it's easier for me to understand what the precepts mean. When I see the importance you place on worshiping God and studying His Word, it stimulates interest in me. When you sacrifice to live right, it doesn't bother me so much as when you ask me to give up something that's important to me. When I see you sacrifice, I can do that." Solomon said, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Proverbs 23, verse 26. Jesus faced a young man who asked, "What lack I yet?" Jesus responded, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Matthew 19, verses 20 and 21. Jesus taught the lesson on priorities, but he also exemplified it. He lived it, and he told the others to live it as well. If you want me to learn, then show me. As a young person, that's what I need. This section here that Mr. Webster wrote about, that a young person needs to be shown the truth, means that all of us should try to avoid hypocrisy, because young people can smell that a mile off, can't they? They can see it in your life, and it confuses them. So instead, let's live the gospel before them, and you will teach them many more powerful lessons than you ever could by sitting them down and having a serious discussion of some kind. Once again, from the young person's perspective, as a young person, I need for you to correct me. You did not expect to see this one, did you? I act as if your discipline is the curse of my life, but it is important to me. It shows that you care about me. I need boundaries. I must know the difference between right and wrong, truth and error, good and bad. Rest assured, I'll test you here. I am curious, and I want to know what lies outside the boundaries you set for me. If you remain steadfast, though, in your constraints, then I see it as moral conviction and not just arbitrary restriction. I will know it is rooted in love for God and love for me when you set boundaries. I know what the Bible says. Withhold not correction from the child. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 22, verse 15. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes. Proverbs 13, verse 24. I expect you to live up to this part of your responsibility as a parent, but please don't be so strict that no one could live up to your expectations. Thank you for blessing my life and helping me through this difficult time. You see, that's what a child will say in response to being corrected in their life and in having boundaries set for them. One of the reasons why you see children so frustrated today is because they don't know exactly what is expected. They don't know that I can go this far and no further. They can't have fun doing whatever it is they're doing if they don't exactly know, while I'm doing this, am I going to get in trouble doing this, or exactly what is, acceptable when I do this. They need to know that when it comes to the sports they play. You know, what if you had a basketball game? There's no rules or no kind of fouls that you can commit. You know, it'd be awful, wouldn't it? It'd turn basically into a brawl. What kind of football game would you have? Where you didn't worry how anybody was blocked or any kind of holding that went on or whatever. Once again, it just turned into a mess. You have to have bounds. You have to have rules, expectations that people will follow a certain code of behavior. And if they don't do that, then that's where you run into problem. There are all kinds of things that we can learn in the Scripture in order to help our young children to develop and to grow up and to help our teens so that they might develop spiritually and serve God as the Christians of the future in the church. You see, it's expressed also here by Mr. Webster. He said, "Once upon a time there was a church looking toward the future. Some were concerned for the spiritual welfare of the youth growing up in an immoral and decadent age. They began to plan on how to create a thirst for righteousness among their young." Because it says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, that's what we're all supposed to have, a thirst for righteousness. And they wanted to fortify their faith to be able to withstand against the devil's onslaught. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, they wanted them to put on the whole armor of God. So first, what you would do in that situation is determine that they needed a strong Bible teaching program. Children cannot stand up against the devil unless they do it like Jesus did. It is written. And they can't know what's written unless you give them the Bible. We need Bible teaching programs in our churches, and we need to instill that within our young people. And if you want to find that kind of thing, you can find it at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. You see, somebody says, well, I don't want to, maybe take the time to teach a children's class, or spend a whole lot of time, with the young people. That's just not my thing. But you know what? The drug pusher out on the street, he'll say not even the threat of jail will keep me from working with your young children, and you don't want their kind of work. So we need to sacrifice the time. We need to make ourselves open and available to young people to instruct them in God's way in the Bible. You may say, well, I don't know enough to teach children. Oh, yeah, you know enough, all right. And if you act like you don't know enough, the things that you would have wanted them to know, somebody else is going to come out there and teach them directly opposite. When they go off to college or whatever, you're going to have to actually make yourself knowledgeable and then instruct young people if you would have them to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Second thing is that if you're planning to instruct young people in the church and to build up the church of the future, then we need to recognize that we need teachers that can educate. And they do this in a way that draws children in. What I mean is that if the children are leaving not only the church, but if the children are disconnected from the class or any conversation you're trying to have with them, then as a parent, you've got to recognize that. You can kind of tell when they're tuning you out, when they're not listening to you. As a Bible class teacher, you should be able to recognize the same thing. And over time, you should learn what it is that's causing your child to tune out. And you should try to get to the bottom of it. You know, exactly what's causing you to have a problem here staying with what I'm telling you. And if you have a problem with it, then come on out with it. Don't act as if, things can just be bottled up and held inside, because a young person who does that often finds themselves in despondency and depression and frustrated by no manner of difficulties. I mean, everything, it seems, just comes right on top of their head, and they blow everything out of proportion. You know how young people get. You've got to engage them, in other words. You've got to get them involved in the class. You've got to get them involved in the family so that they can open up and tell you what their problems and concerns are. And finally, if you're planning the children of the, right now to come up to be the great church of the future, then we have to make sure that our teens and everybody involved is engaged in youth devotionals, that they make the times of vacation Bible schools and gospel meetings, that they are engaged in various things, whether it be, Bible bowls or weekend retreats. There are all kinds of outings for them where they can see positive Christian examples, where they can see people doing things that are good, and not like they see on the tube all the time where they're watching people doing bad. You give them the positive example, you show them the way of Jesus Christ, and they will not forget it. I hope that you've learned some good points then about teaching young people today, and hope that you can pass this on and live a good example before them. And I thank you for tuning in this afternoon for the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. I'm Tim McHenry.